Juan Marichal has joined us on Sports Byline USA, and as I mentioned, he was part and involved in arguably the greatest game ever pitched involving him and Milwaukee Braves Hall of Famer Warren Spahn. The date was July the 2nd, 1963 at Candlestick Park. The two great pitchers matched scoreless innings until the Giants outfielder Willie Mays homered off of Spahn to win the ballgame 1-0 in the 16th inning. I think before we talk about that game, everybody that's listening around the world should understand what Candlestick Park was like to pitch in. What kind of park was it for you and for Warren that night?
To me, the way the game went, and you know, it was easy for both of us to pitch in that park because we went 15 innings. We threw over 200 pitches. I was lucky enough to become the winner. But let me tell you, it wasn't easy to pitch against the great Warren Spahn, a left-hander, the winning left-hander in the decade, you know, the 363 wins. And he was tough. He was tough as a pitcher and as a batter. He was a good hitter. And pitching a Candlestick, I used to enjoy it.
That ballpark was windy, and that's what I was getting at, and it could get very cold in the middle of summer. What was the night like? Did that help out as far as both of you being able to pitch that long?
I concentrate so hard in that park because every time I hear that the hitters complain about the wind and the dust and the this, so I say to myself, if they don't like it, you know, I have to think that it's a good place for a pitcher. So I have to concentrate on that and forget about the weather, forget about the wind, and just try to do your job, throw the ball where you think it's gonna affect the most the hitters, and just concentrate on that. And I think that's what I used to do when I was on the mound.
When you think about the fact that it was Warren Spahn, the great lefty, and it was the great righty, Juan Marichal, pitching against each other, was there something about that competition between the two of you in that game that added to the kind of the rush for both of you pitchers?
Well, Alvin Dar wanted to take me out from the ninth inning on, and I went to him and I begged him to let me stay on the game, you know, and I say the weather's nice. I feel strong. I don't know about it, whether it was nice or not, but I just say that for him to keep me on the game. So he let me stay for two innings or four innings. So now the game is on the 14 innings. He came back to me and said, "That's it. You're not pitching any longer. I don't want you to hurt your arm. I don't want nothing to happen to you." So I say to him, "Mr. Dark, do you see that man pitching over there? He's 42 years old. I'm only 25, and nobody's going to take me out of this game." So he was mad. You know, I should not say that to him because he was my manager, and you have to have some respect for your manager. But I don't want to leave the game. And Ed Bailey was catching on that game, and every time that Alvin wanted to take me out, he said, "Don't let him. Don't let him. Win or lose is a great, great, great game." So in the 15 innings that I went out, when I came back, I say, "Alvin, that's it. You can get somebody else." So he called the bullpen and get somebody ready. And when Warren went in, he got just three out, just like that, and I look at my glove, I look at my hat, and I look to the bullpen. I saw the relief pitcher coming in, and I run to the mound. So they have to call that relief pitcher back to the bullpen. So lucky enough, I got 1, 2, 3, and before I get to the dugout, I wait for Willie to come from center field, and I say, "Chico, Alvin Dog is mad at me. So I don't gonna be pitching any longer." So he tapped my back and say, "Juan, don't worry, I'm gonna win this game for you." So he was the leadoff batter and at that innings, and first pitch, that ball left the park. I was the happiest man in earth.
I bet. 1-0 the final as Willie Mays hit the home run in the 16th inning to win it for the Giants and Juan Marichal. And again, I want to urge you to check out this wonderful book. It's called the greatest game ever pitched, Juan Marichal, Warren Spahn, and the pitching duel of the century. I think it's easy to say that there were a lot of great hitters playing baseball when you were pitching. And I think of people certainly like Frank Robinson in the National League, Roberto Clemente, Pete Rose, Billy Williams as well. Tell me about some of the hitters then and the battles that you had with some of the great hitters in the National League.
With so many, like you say, so many good hitters at that era. I remember Will Stargell. I remember Billy Williams. Those guys, you know, Pete Rose, he was something. Roberto Clemente, and a guy from the Dodgers that broke his ankle, Tommy Davis. He was a great, great hitter. And everywhere you go was Lou Brock, Maury Wills. That guy, I think I don't want to see that guy come to the plate, because if he get on, he can extend a walk to a triple. And with so many tough players at that era, that when I see, I hear people now compare that era to now, I think that the only difference now is the money that the player make, because those days was hard to pitch or hard to hit. And you have to play the game to win. And I think the game was played differently at that time.
Warren, I've had a lot of great pitchers tell me the same thing, that the big boppers, the big home run hitters, really did not bother them that much. It was those little pesky contact hitter guys, the guys like Tony Gwynn, and you were talking about Tommy Davis and others like that. But, I mean, were the contact hitters the ones that used to drive pitchers like you crazy?
Yes, yes. And I can mention one that I try so hard to get that guy out. And every time he was at the plate, he gave me some hard problem. Was Tony Gonzalez. He was one of those guys that hit the ball left field to the middle, or sometimes he pulled the ball. But I have such a hard time to get him out. And one time, after we both retired, you know, we played this legend game in Miami where they have all the Cubans. So I was invited to play in that game. And I think I was playing for Amendares and he played for Havana. And I got him out. And I told him, I said, listen, it took me 25 years to do it, but now I'm happy. I got you out.
Of course, you had some great players on your team as well, a number of Hall of Famers aside from just yourself, Orlando Cepeda, Willie Mays, and Willie McCovey. If you would, for just a moment, was there a commonality among all of you, all four Hall of Famers, about the way you approached playing baseball?
I was so proud. I was so proud to be on that group. You know, I'm playing the same field with Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Orlando Cepeda. Sometimes the three are Lou brothers, that they play the same field in the same game. I was so proud to, with my career and my year that I play at the major league level, because since I was a kid, I wanted to become a baseball player. But I never thought that I was going to be playing in the same field with the best baseball player ever, Willie Mays.
What was it from a player's perspective? I know what the media says, I know what the fans say, but I've always found that professional athletes have a particular appreciation for other great athletes that maybe the others that I mentioned don't have. What is it that you as a Hall of Famer have as an appreciation of the way Willie Mays played the game?
He played to win. He played to win. And he was the type of players that don't need coach. He used to hit a ball, and he know how far he can go without looking at anybody. He know if he can go to second or if he can extend that hit to a triple. He know from second if he can score, because he studied every opposite player. He know what kind of arm this guy got, and he never take a chance. He play to win, and he play smart. That was the type of player that Willie was. And another guy that amazed me through the year was Roberto Clemente. He was another guy that played to win. That man used to hit a ball to the mound. And if you didn't hurry, he can beat that throw to first because he never give up. Never. So that's the way that I like to see the ball play, you know, the game. Because when you play to win, nobody can criticize you.
You mentioned about the game being played differently. The ballparks are different as well. I remember as a kid, I visited my grandparents in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and we always went to Cincinnati to either watch the Reds for a series on the weekend or the Pittsburgh Pirates at Old Forbes Field. Now, I think the saying was, it's about a $5 cab ride to center field in Forbes Field. I mean, that was a very big ballpark, was it not?
Yes, yes. Those days, you don't see those play that you see today. The ball is hit, and the outfielder run to the wall, and he jump and cut the ball. At those days, you don't have time to get to the wall because the fence was so far. So today you see so many times that play, a guy that hit a ball out of the park, but the outfielder jump and rub a home run. So those days was different.
Another aspect of your greatness as well was the fact that baseball decided that too many runs were being scored, and so they lowered the mound, did they not? And you turned around the next season, and if my memory serves me correctly, either won 25 or 26 games after they lowered the mound.
No, I think that happened the same year that Gibson came up with a 1.12 ERA.
Right.
And I win 26 games. I complete 30 games. That was in 1968. So they lowered the mound after that season.
Okay.
Because, I think that whoever did it didn't like the pitchers.
We only have a couple minutes left. But when you think back on your great career and you've had a moment to kind of sit back and reflect a little bit, what is it that Tawan Marichal means the most to him about what he did in baseball and how he played the game?
Well, I think that a lot of people appreciate what my career. Most of the people that know baseball, they know how hard I work. I prepare myself to be on the field and give 100%. I think I sacrifice myself to have a good career. And if you do that, I think you end up at a positive way. You know, every time I knew I was going to pitch the next day or 2 days later or 3 days, I prepare myself. You know, I never smoke, I never drink, and that was a big sacrifice. You know, because I know most of the players they like a good life. You know, they want to go to a disco, they want to have a good time, they want to do this. I was different. You know, and thanks God that I sacrificed myself and it paid off.
We got about 45 seconds left. Is there a particular moment in your career that is emblazoned in your mind, a moment that you'll never forget?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I would never forget the incident with Johnny Rosenberg. Never. Because I think that hurt my career. It hurt my image, and it hurt Juan Marichal. And I am very sorry about the incident, about what happened, and I regret the way I handled the situation.
The two words associated with Juan Marichal in my mind is a gentleman and also classy. You had a great career, and I thank you for sharing with us the moments that got you through that career. Thank you very, very much, Juan, for coming in and spending some time with us here on Sports Byline.
My pleasure. It's a great thrill to be here with you and be in San Francisco, the city that I love the most. I love the people, and I love the Giants.
Juan Marichal with us, Hall of Fame right-hander, the Dominican Dandy. That's what they called him, 16 years in the majors. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.